Hello, it's Tiffany Lorraine, the Resilient Mother, here with another episode of the Resilient Mother Podcast. Today, my guest that I have with me is Kimberly Henry. She is a memoir writing expert. She's a life coach and a speaker. Her mission is to provide tools and accountability for entrepreneurial leaders who want to write their life story. She also has 5 ways you could monetize your story. I'll let her talk a little bit more about herself. We've met through Forbes Riley and gotten to know each other there. It's a wonderful community of like-minded entrepreneurs that support and are there for each other. So with no further ado, here is Kimberly Henry.
Hi.
Hey, tell our audience a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. So I live in upstate New York, a single mom, raised my daughter on my own, and recently left my 9-to-5 job after 20 years last year to really step into helping people write their stories and getting their stories out to the world, their life story.
And we share the idea of resilience with our stories as single moms and the things that we've been through. We both have recovered from trauma and relationships that were not the best and doing single motherhood. So we share a lot of things in common that way when it comes to resilience. January, my theme is resistance versus resilience. Now, the idea behind this is going to be the first chapter of my book that I'm writing called Resilient You. And Resilient You is going to be the theme throughout my whole year. So you're helping me start out this conversation. And the first step to this idea of resilience is being aware. And why are you resisting things? Why are you not stepping into your full self? What's standing in the way? And then when you do have that awareness, really stepping into that first step of resilience is the awareness and then the acceptance of what is and what you have to work with. So it's kind of the theme of where we're going with today. So maybe you could speak about what resilience is to you, and do you agree this is kind of the first step in that direction?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And when you said that we're recovering from trauma, I'm still recovering from trauma.
Right?
It's like an ongoing, I'm realizing, lifelong thing. It's not like, oh, I do some work and I heal that part. And it's like another thing comes around and something else comes up. And it's quite interesting with the blind spots. And so I really do feel like this is the place to begin, because we can look at what has been sitting there that maybe we don't know that's been sitting there.
Especially, and did you feel writing your story was part of that healing process for you, like getting it down and sharing helped you really be aware? Like, you really had to get down to the details of what you were going to share and how you were going to share it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and that goes perfectly with resistance, because how this started is I was in a program and I had a coach and I was assigned a butt-puckering goal. And so with the accountability, I kept going up to the coaching sessions and he's like, Kimberly, when are you going to start it? And I would procrastinate and I'd sit on it and I wouldn't do it. And then again, Kimberly, when are you going to start it? And then I got down to the wire of like the last couple of weeks or the last week. And he's like, what are you doing? You said you were going to do this. And really what it came down to is when I realized once I did allow myself to write, what was stopping me was not procrastination. It was resistance of what was going to show up once I allowed myself to start it, especially the emotions. I was a fear of the emotions, because having been in traumatic situations with 2 alcoholic parents, I never knew that I wasn't my emotions. And I'm still learning that at 45 years old.
Well, and it's interesting you talk about that, because when we talked before, we both talked about how being raised by parents that didn't allow us to have our own voice, who didn't allow us to like express negative feelings, at least in my experience, how that led to not being emotionally intelligent, and how that's something we're both still having to deal with because it's so ingrained as a child, and how important it is to pay attention to what you're teaching your children in that way, because it's something that's going to be with them for the rest of their life. And so that's part of, I know the resistance is I like to embrace the fact that I'm an emotional person, because it makes me more empathetic to others. And though I may feel things at a very high and a very low, they've really come in handy doing theater or things like that. And it's been therapeutic, but it's very different than how some other people experience emotions. Sometimes my emotions or my ability to hold other people's negative emotions makes some people uncomfortable, unfortunately. And yeah. Have you had experience with that too? Like it's.
Yeah. And as you're speaking, I'm sitting here recalling, I've always been empathetic. So as I got older and was growing older, there was a conflict within me because I was always told I was too emotional. I was always told that I talked too much. And I knew I was empathetic. I knew, and then like some part of me, that as a little girl, I knew how sad my parents were. I felt it. I saw it. And that's where me wanting to fix people came in too, because it's like, well, maybe if I just do this thing, they'll feel better. Yeah. Maybe if I just go like do this or take that or go here with them, it'll make them happy. Because I always felt that sense of sadness, especially their anger, because when they get drunk, they were angry, especially my dad. So it's like now being in my 40s, I'm like, oh, okay, that's who I've always been. I've always been that empathetic person. I can sit with someone in their darkest times and just like hold that space for them. I don't need to fix them. I can just let them cry or let them be angry and spew. And that's who I've always been. And really, it was just
that. There was nothing wrong with you. It was just something they didn't understand. And they didn't love you. They didn't understand that was a gift.
Yeah.
But now you can embrace that part of you. You don't have to fight it anymore. You don't have to resist it. You accept that that's a part of who you are. It was always a part of who you are, even though somebody else tried to make it wrong. It wasn't wrong. And now you can move forward with that and see that it's a beautiful gift. And now that makes you resilient. Like you're emotionally resilient now and you're more emotionally intelligent on a deep level. So it can become a beautiful gift when you take that step to become aware and accept, because that's really the transition into the beginning of change. But it's a change you get to decide. Now you get to decide who you are. Back there when they were trying to say, no, don't be this, don't be that, don't be this, don't be that. And then you're like, well, then who am I?
And even like, can I share a story with you about high school? So my dad and I always had a really conflicted relationship. Like I knew how much he loved me and I knew how sad he was, and I didn't know what to do around any of that. So especially when I get into high school, I always was the one to go to the bars and make sure that they were both okay because they'd go together. And by the time I got into high school, I was walking him home from the bar because I knew how drunk he was and I wanted to make sure he got home safe. And I knew my mom was drunk, so I knew that it was unlikely that she was going to be able to help him getting home. So as I'm walking him home with his arm around my neck and he's stumbled over, he can't really talk and he's got the stank beer breath all over me. We get home and I would always ask him the same questions. And it was always about what was the hardest moment of your life? You know, what did you experience? And it was always, always being a 9-year-old boy, his father died, his mother is disabled, and his oldest brother was in prison. His other brother was in and out of homes that nuns ran around here. He always went back to that time. And he would literally be so drunk, he could barely hold himself up, but he'd be bawling like that 9-year-old boy every time I did this with him. And then how I perceived myself, because it wasn't him, it was myself, I perceived myself as wrong because I was making him sad when all I wanted to do was help him and I wanted him to feel better. Now, fast forward, I'm realizing I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was actually holding that space for him to grieve because he never got to grieve. He never got to be that 9-year-old boy.
Yes.
So that's even something to take a look at, because it was all about my perceptions of myself, not how they perceived me. I'm sure in some way he was grateful because I was allowing him to be that. If that makes any sense.
Well, and it just goes to show how important it is to be aware of the things in our past that are holding us back. I think some of us are not aware that we have these moments in our past or in our childhood that really affect the rest of our lives. Yeah. Some of us are painfully aware of them because of the extent to which they've intruded into our lives. And we go, why can't I be like everybody else? Why am I struggling with this so much? Versus others go through and maybe have something come up that brings it up, some big thing. And then you have to go back and do the work. But we all have work to do. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't have something that is in the past to look at. And now that's more therapy and that kind of thing. What I like about coaching is once you've kind of done that work, is coaching is now how do we move forward? Now, how do we, now who do you get to be with that? How do you get to take that with you and turn it into something positive and be a force of nature and serve others with it? And I think that's really what resilience can be, and a beautiful thing that we need in society today as things constantly change and as things are not predictable, and that we need to, you know, dig deep into our creativity and who we are and just take a look at what our strengths are and our weaknesses, and just own who we can be, whatever we want to be, if we can just be resilient enough to pursue it. So
especially as mothers, because once I did write, especially when I chose to write about domestic violence, my experience with that, I called my daughter right after I finished writing and was like, wow, I'm finally seeing just how resilient I am, because I really didn't get all of what I experienced at the time, because I was literally in survival mode for so many years with her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I wanted to protect her so much that I really went through even more trauma with that than I did with my parents, because I was all about protecting her. So, and that really, I always say to my daughter, like, I did not know how strong of a person I am. Until I had her, because when that kicked in, like that fight, is I wanted to protect her. I knew I had a vision for her. I knew that I wanted her to grow up. I knew her potential, and I knew what it took for me to then be that person so that she could be that person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you became a chain breaker. You're like, this stuff ends with me. It ends here. I am giving my child a better life. I feel you there in so many ways. Because those of us who become aware and we see these patterns and we see these things and it starts to click, we're like, no more of that. I'm not passing that on to the next generation. I'm not taking that with me. I'm going to create something new. I'm going to be resilient, or I'm going to be a light. I'm going to make sure my children feel loved, seen, and heard. I'm going to be that parent that I needed, or I'm going to be that friend that I needed. I'm going to do things differently. And it is a very courageous thing to do. And it's almost this like maternal instinct for some of us that just kicks on. We become moms, and then it's like, oh no, that we're going into a different gear here. Watch out.
Exactly. Because I'm sure there were people in my life that didn't understand, had no idea what I was going through, couldn't comprehend. And like me and her, she's 24 now. So we talk about it now, and she really has literally no memory, which is interesting. So I'm sure that's how her brain is protecting her, because though she has no memory, she still experienced trauma. And she even experienced that trauma because of what I was experiencing. So I know now through our conversations, when I'm listening to her, she picked up on my anxiety. I was terrified. I was scared because I knew what he was able to do. I knew that he said that he would put a gun in my head if he had a gun. I knew that that was true if he had a gun. So she did pick up all of that. And so, yes, I did a great job raising her, and she's an amazing human being. And like, she's that woman that I wanted to be at 24, that I didn't have a role model, that I didn't feel like I had that support, that I didn't feel like I was worthy enough to live a life like she's attempting to live and creating the life that she wants. And we're still acknowledging that, okay, yes, you did experience trauma. You did not have a perfect childhood.
No, but she had you. You know, that makes all the difference. Yeah. She had you, and she had the right perspective to take from it. And I think that helps a lot. There's a lot of shame around trauma, mental illness, and that shame closes people down from getting the help that they need, or just from talking about it, just simply talking about it and being free to talk about your story, my story, our story, so other people don't feel alone and realize there's another side to all of this. There are tools, there are choices here. You're not just this broken person now because of the circumstances you had to deal with, or the failed relationships that came across your path for whatever reason. That we all have a beautiful story to tell that matters and that can create impact and be a positive change in the world. And, you know, it's fun talking to you because I worry about my kids. Like the minute they were divorced, or the minute I knew I was going to be single parent for them, I'm like, we're putting you in counseling. I started counseling when I was very little from being molested, but I did not get enough of it. I know I didn't because it didn't really resolve things and things popped up later. And so they may fight me a little bit on it, but I'm like, I'm going to set you up for success here. I know you might resist me right now and not accept what I'm doing, but I know you'll thank me later.
Exactly.
That. But they're also learning lessons I never learned at their age. And we live in such a world today where kids get exposed to so much so quickly because of social media and different things that I'm glad to already see my children being more resilient than I was. When they talk back to me and they have their own opinion, I take a step back a little bit and appreciate the fact that they're being firm in who they are, what they think, and what their opinion is, because I was the golden child who just was a robot, did, what do you need? What do you want? Oh, who do I need to be for you today? Just to keep things calm. And I don't want that. Like, I want to know when my children step away from me that they are firm in who they are, so they can be like your daughter and have that confidence and that foundation to go really get the life that they want. Because I don't feel I was set up for success that way. And I think that's the other part of a chain breaker is giving them the tools we didn't have, giving them the ability we didn't have as mothers. And this may not be everyone's story, this much trauma and this much drastic change, but I think we all want our children to be more resilient, especially in today. Like, I think we want to help all of them. We want the same things for our kids. We want them to be set up for success. We want them to be comfortable in who they are and have the confidence to go pursue their dreams and be the who they're meant to be in the world. And resilience is a key part of that, because life is going to knock you down. There are going to be trials. Some of us have more dramatic trials than others or more dramatic struggles to overcome, but everybody's going to have something. You're not going to get out of this human experience without some kind of opportunity to make you grow.
I always say to people, if only babies came with manuals, it could be different. But you can't, because every child is so different. Like, I have one, you have multiple. And so when I'm listening to your stories about your children, clearly they're night and day. I know me and my sister are night and day.
Yeah,
we didn't totally have different. Any kind of, we came from the same house, both same of the parent and same parents. And her experience was totally different from my experience.
So my one daughter's way of teaching her resilience would be to be consistent. Like, she likes to try, she's social butterfly, likes to do things, but she'll quit them easily if she's not like good at them right away. And my other daughter, her form of resistance is she's very quiet and internal. So for her, it's speaking up, like, for who she is. And the 2-year-old, well, I don't know yet. I'm still figuring him out, but he's all that's for sure. But and my oldest is still getting to know. And so just giving kids permission to be who they are and realize they are completely different, and you're not doing, they're each going to need their own individual attention, and they're all going to need an approach in a little bit of a different way. But you're not doing it wrong if they're different. That's just how they came. Like you said, there's no manual for each one of them. And so the best thing you can do is be a great example of that. Did I lose you? Are you still there? Looks like you froze. So let's see, where are we at? We're at 20 minutes. So Kimberly Henry is a wonderful example of a woman who's overcome resilience as a single mom and now has a daughter that's out doing wonderful, amazing things. And she wrote her memoir, and she now has this thing called Million. Give me the title again. Is it Millionaire Memoirs, I believe? Oh, I still lost her. Okay. But you can reach her at KimberlyHenryCoaching.com. There's all the information on her writing, her coaching. She's working into being a speaker. So she's looking for platforms to share her story on who she is, what her mission is, and how she's going to be moving forward with that. And she is an example of a resilient mother. So she is a perfect person to have on this podcast today. And I'm so grateful she was able to join me. And we'll see if we can get her back here for a little more of a chat. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, there we go. I lost you for a minute. So I was just talking about you a little bit, where they can find you, and how I feel you're a great example of a resilient mother. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your story or about resilience that you'd like to share with our audience today?
No, I appreciate you having me on. And your audience can download the 5 Ways to Recover from Your Personal Trauma ebook that's on my website.
Yes, it's a free ebook. I was just looking at it. She's got some great, a great simple 5 steps to follow that I do agree with. They're very effective things and they're simple things that you can do. It's not too complicated to start your healing process. So,
thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed being here with you.
Yeah, it's been great to get to know you better. And so we'll probably see each other again. And yes. So please reach out to Kimberly. Thank you for coming and we'll see you next time. And if you're interested, I am working on resilience results coaching, which is my coaching practice. I'm doing a couple new certifications. I'm finishing a certification with the Coaching Institute in Parent and Family Relationships. And I am happy to announce in March, I will be becoming a high performance coach through Brenda Burchard, and I will be a certified high performance coach. And so that'll start in March. And so I am available for some free clarity or strategy sessions to give you a taste of what coaching is. And I've got new and improved strategies and techniques to use to get you the results that you want. And I would be excited to work with you. And so with no further ado, thank you all for coming and we'll see you next time.